46 questions, and some of the questions I will not answer in this general group, but tonight I will have special talking with the brothers, and Wednesday night I will have special talking with the sisters. So, and then any question pertaining to maybe, you know, brothers or sisters, and that is more appropriate during those individual group, then I will answer then, okay? So, before I answer any question, let's go to the book of Deuteronomy 29:29. Okay, guys, remember this, okay? Remember this, this chapter and the verse and the book. Deuteronomy 29:29. Verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we know that we may do all the words of the law. So here Moses said that the secret things belong to the Lord our God. What does that mean? That means there are so many things in life that you and I have no answer to. Even though we do not have answer to, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It doesn't mean that God does not have the answer. For example, is there alien out there? Huh? Okay. If this alien, what's that going to do with you? They're going to come invade the whole planet and kill all of us? Right? Of course, those kind of stuff. Why? Because every time we try to find out about something, because why? Because we want to know so we can practice it. Right? But there's a lot of things that is secret. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children. So in other words, when you and I study something together and we know the answer to certain things, and then we share also with the next generation. And then when you and I hear the answer, and then what? That we may do all the words of this law. That's why it's important, right? Because sometimes if you want to be a philosopher, and you ask questions, it's nothing to do with our faith. Why? Because you ask questions just to ask it. For example, one of the questions that, if God is so great, right, can he make a big rock that he cannot lift, right? Of course, these philosophical questions, right? And of course, I know, I don't know if the brother or sister and, you know, ask the same question, right? But that question really, it's first, it's not polite to ask that kind of question to God, right? Of course, they ask this kind of question, so we try to stump, you know, or try to, you know, to see if our God can do it or not, right? But that kind of question, actually, is not an appropriate kind of question. If God is so great, can he make a rock that is so big he cannot lift, right? If, I mean, why would you want to know that? Why? Because we ask because we want to be a wise guy. And believe me, I studied philosophy for many years. And this is some of the question that philosophical thinkers would ask. And the reason they ask, because they're atheists, they don't believe in God. So they ask this kind of question to be cool. Right? But actually, our God, he's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. There's so many things that you and I do not understand. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. The book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and verse 9. Verse 8 and verse 9. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. Was the heavens higher than the ant, and the earth? So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. So no matter how wise we are, there's no way we can know as much as God. Why? Because God's way is higher than our ways. His thoughts is way higher than our thoughts. So because of this, for example, right, if I take off my shoes, one of my toe is an ugly toe. I have a funky toe, right? And then an ant crawl on my toe, would he think, wow, this is Pastor Booty's toe? Would he realize that? No, he felt like, wow, what is this smelly toe, first of all, right? And you probably think, can I use it for food, right? And you probably think, can I carry this toe with me somewhere, right? Of course, he's an ant, you know, he doesn't know. He doesn't know this belongs to a human being. He doesn't know all, he doesn't know. So how would you think that you and I know everything about God, right? Can we? We cannot. Right now, right, even though scientists have been so advanced, but a common cold, can doctors cure a common cold? Huh? No. That's pretty crazy, right? We can build, you know, an airplane to fly so far, but we cannot cure a common cold. Why? Because common cold belongs to the Creator. He created us, and He knows every part of our facet that is in our body. He can fix anything and do anything. But for us, it doesn't matter how smart we are. We only know very little about what God has created for us. Look at it, right? When I plant things, for example, you know, when I go to Hawaii, I'm just amazed. Because coconut trees, right? You know, coconut trees, you know how powerful they are? Because a lot of coconut trees, they are grown in tropical weather, right? So tropical weather is a lot of tropical storm. So sometimes when there's a great storm in Hawaii, the coconut tree can pretty much, you know, bend, like parallel to the ground, but it doesn't break. That's how awesome it is, right? But think about this, right? A coconut tree, where does a coconut come from? You put a little seed in there, right, or the husk, it grows out, and then all of a sudden, this huge tree come out, and then there's coconuts, right? Where does it come from? Can you tell me, where does it come from? And then what? Our intestine is so long, right? It can cover what? Huh? Somebody Google it. Can someone Google it? Huh? 22 feet. Our intestine. What do you think? And all the vein that's in our body, right? Yes? To the moon and back. Actually, they say somewhat what? Around the earth, right? Something like that. Two times around earth. Yeah. Something like that. But the thing is, it's just so amazing. Right? How can that be? How can that be, right? Think about this. Because God is awesome. God is awesome. You know, look at, right? The whole earth, mainly, like the whole earth pretty much all body of water, right? And of course, and not only creating all this ocean and rivers and lakes, but also God be able to sustain it. You know how difficult that is? My pond is like 10 by 15. You know how difficult it is for me to sustain my pond? Only 10 by 15 feet, that's all it is. You know how much electricity I need to use to make the pond, to, you know, all the fish to become alive? You know how much plants I need to put in there for the fish to be alive? That's only 10 by 15. Can you imagine the whole earth, the whole universe, right? If someone did not believe in God, just look in the universe, that person is very foolish. Right? No one can say, look at this pulpit right here, right? Ask you, where did this pulpit come from? Where? Brother, where did this pulpit come from? Wood, okay? How does it get here? Huh? The tree brought it here? Or? How does it get here? Home Depot. Is it Home Depot? But you could never say, actually, this pulpit exists by itself. There's a great bang, and all of a sudden, there's a pulpit existed. No one would say that about this little pulpit, right? You would say someone created this. For sure, someone created it. So we look at the whole universe, there's a great bang, and all of a sudden, everything come in order. Doesn't make sense, right? Doesn't make sense. So that's why for us, yeah, don't be too smart. In a sense that like we think we know so much. Actually, we know very little. We can't even cure a common cold. We doesn't understand even maybe a tiny bit of God creation. We have no idea. Really, share with us, where's the wind come from? The wind, where does it come from? Where's the fan? Is there a fan in the corner somewhere? Did the wind blow out through the whole earth? Where does it come from? It's amazing, right? Especially when you're in Hawaii, right? You sit there and all of a sudden a cool wind comes, like, wow, this is awesome, right? This is awesome. So that's why for us, so when we ask questions and things like that, make sure, right? Don't be a wise guy and ask God something that, you know, that you feel like, you know, just being foolish about, right? Of course, you know, God is a father. You can ask anything we want, right? Personally, right? Ask him, right? You can talk to him. But don't try to make him look foolish in front of other people by asking questions that's not appropriate, right? So that's just my thought for you, okay? So the first question, I will not answer. Now, the second question. The first question I will answer in the boys' group, okay? Second question. We already have this, right? And what a Pastor Booty's class, he said, a person wouldn't sin if that person did not act on his homosexual behavior. Even though he still think about it. Then Pastor Booty said that we wouldn't sin if we just think and not act. But Jesus said that you would commit adultery if you think lustfully about her. Explain and justify, please, right? So we said before that don't think a person who think about homosexuality, they think about lustful things. No, it's not necessary. So the minute, it doesn't matter if you think about the same sex, opposite sex, when you think about lustful things, it's sin. So the same thing for homosexuality. So some homosexuality, when they think about the same sex, they think about going out to dinner with them, right? And having a romantic dinner. They think about maybe they want to take, you know, on a boat trip, right? On a cruise. They don't think about lustful things. Do you understand? This is kind of thinking we're talking about. We're not talking about lustful things. Lustful things, it doesn't matter what you think about, it's going to be sin, including animals too. Okay, so I won't take that much time to answer the question. Any other question pertaining to that one? Anything else? Anything else? Did someone clear their throat when I ask a question? Okay. But you guys understand what I'm saying, right? Yeah. Okay. Question number 3. What are the church regulation suggestion for marriage and dating? So better yet, we have to say, what is the Bible teaching in terms of, you know, marriage and dating, right? Okay, because we have the follow the Bible. But of course, our church, we follow the Bible. But if we put church, and then sometimes the church does not follow the Bible, and then it's not good. So what is the Bible teaching about dating? Is anywhere in the Bible people date? Is there dating in the Bible? No dating, right? Why do you need to date? Why do people date nowadays? Huh? Why do people date nowadays? Why? Dating is just an excuse to have multiple relationships, right? Then you feel like, oh, I don't like this one. I don't like this one. I don't like this one. Why? Because I'm dating. I have all this dating so I can experience to find the right person. You know what? That's a poor excuse, right? Yes. Yes. When you get to know a person you're interested, you don't need to date. Right? You don't need to date. For example, right now, right, you're here at IHTS, you also can tell, right, what a person is like too. And I'm here observing you and you're observing me, you can tell what kind of personnel do I have. And the same thing with all of you too, right? Some of you are very shy, right? Some of you are very goofy, right? Like all this kind of stuff, you can tell. And when you want to know a person, doesn't mean you need to date them, right? Dating. You can go out with a group, for example, right? Group of brothers, group of sisters. You do holy work. You go out for group dinner. You will know people, right? You know people. Remember Pastor Liang shared with you guys, there's 3 things. If you know about that person, if that person is good for you or not, right? Remember the 3 things he said? Remember the 3 things? Yes, if that person likes little kids, right? And what else? They like old people, right? Then what else? What's that? Loves God, okay. Double-sided. What does that mean, double-sided?
That means like you love them and they
love. Yes. You have to, like, you know, when God brought Eve to Adam, right? He He did not say, oh, what is that? Right? He said, no, bones are my bone and flesh my flesh. But of course, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Right? Some of you, I mean, I know one time one brother, he loved hair. Like he loved women, a sister with hair, right? I mean, yeah. But so sometime when the sister goes like this with her hair, and he goes crazy. I'm like, you know, and of course, you know, it's just funny, right? It's just funny. And for me too, like for me, I mean, not, I don't like hair. I mean, not that, I'm saying, we all have different types of women that we like. So really, if you find the ugliest sister and you feel that she's beautiful, you keep her. Why? Because if she's ugly, no one else is going to think she's beautiful. Then you don't worry, she's not going to leave you. If you marry a beautiful person, you have to be very careful. Why? Because if she's beautiful, everybody thinks she's beautiful, and it's a lot of temptation, right? But if she's not good-looking, and you think she's so beautiful, that is the best. Really, that's the best. But of course, when you're talking about, you know, relationship, there's no such thing as dating. When you're ready to get married, for me, I don't even believe in engagement, right? Engage. Because sometimes you engage for too long. And during engagement, and then that's the time you commit sin against God, then no longer you get married. So you keep your eyes and ear open, right? Like during this seminar right now, right? Even though you're too young to marry, right? And I'm sure you look at some sisters look at some brothers, right? That maybe the next 3 years you observe them, then you go NYTS, right? Then they're still there, you can look at them, right? Then after that, of course, they finish college, and then, and during that time, you feel, you know, you pray about it, right? Then if the person is really for you, and then you ask someone at church, right, about that person and connect with them. And that's it. You connect with them, and if they connect with you, you guys pray about it and talk and get to know a little bit more, right? I mean, talk and get to know each other, right? Who we are. And then after that, if you feel like, hey, that person, you know, is for me, yeah, you are for me, I'm for you, and get married. That's it. As simple as that, right? So there's no such thing as you have to date and things like that. But what is the rule of thumb when you are ready to get married? Do you need to be 40 years old to get married? According to the Bible, when should you get married? Huh? Yes. What's the first way you say? Someone say that? Yes. When you are spiritually stable, one. Right? Second? Yes? Yes. When you're financially stable, right? When you're able to support your family. Don't get married and then like go to mom and dad. Mom, dad, we need help, right? You're not ready to get married. You have to be spiritually ready or stable. Financial, stable, and what else? What else? One more. Physically, spiritually, and? Yes, emotionally. It's very important, right? Emotionally. So if you are ready, if you are 15 years old and you are ready at these three aspects, get married. Right? But most of the time, you're not ready, right, when you're 15 years old, right? Really, can you be ready financially when you're 15? No. Emotionally, you think you're ready at 15 years old? No, you guys still play video games. How are you going to take care of your family, right? And spiritually, your parents got to tell you, hey, you need to pray. Hey, you need to go to church. You're not ready, right? So ideally, actually, when you guys finish college and a couple of years you're working and brothers you have a stable job and sister emotionally you're ready, and you're ready to commit, then get married, right? Of course, marriage is a blessing. Marriage is a blessing from God, but it's also hard work. And marriage is overrated too. Really, actually, my wife is the best woman I can be with. But it's hard work. It's hard work. And that's why quite often, if you see your own parents, right? I mean, how many of you feel like your parents still deeply in love? Raise your hands. Yeah, Jesse, you need to raise your hand, bud. Where's Jesse? Your dad is back there. Oh, good. But he's not there. He's not there. Really, how many of you feel that your parents really deep in love? Raise your hands, please. Sometimes. Joseph says sometimes. Okay, maybe six of you, five, six of you, brothers, sisters. Yeah, thank God. Actually, Eileen's parents are awesome, right? Andy and Susan, yeah, they, you know, they're from Dallas, right? And yeah, they like the model couple, right?
Yeah.
They're always smiling, you know, and always happy together, right? Always happy together. So thank God. Actually, but why there's only about 10 of you out of 50-something, right? Because quite often, actually, marriage, hard work. That's why the grass is always greener on the other side, and it's true. And sometimes we look at the other side, wow, that grass is so green. I want to go on that side, right? But you don't realize that person owned that house work a lot on their grass. The same thing in marriage. Sometimes you look at a marriage, wow, they have such good marriage. Hard work. Hard work. A lot of sacrifices, a lot of crying, right? A lot of suffering. And then, but the most important thing is, if we were not in Christ, I would not recommend you to get married. Every single year, 2.2 million people get married, right? And how many people get divorced every year? Huh? Huh? I'm sorry? Yeah, it's about 1.3 million, right? Can you imagine that, right? 2.2 million people get married every single year, but it's like 50-something percent also get divorced. That is very sad. But thank God our church is wonderful, really our church. Our church, the retention of marriage is very high, very, very high. I have not known anyone that get divorced if they are both of them are believers. I have not known. I have not known. Even divorced because of adultery. That's how awesome God is, right? That's why it's only right that you guys keep yourself pure for your future spouse, because when you with each other, you are there for life. You're there for life. So marriage, don't rush into it. Make sure you are mature. In other words, that you yourself, you don't marry that person because you need them. You marry them because you want to be with them. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Especially for sisters. Sisters, I really recommend all of you to be independent, right? Financially, emotionally, spiritually, you'll be independent. Why? Because when you marry your husband, it's not because you need him. That's why you want to marry him. You marry him because you love him. You want to be with him. The same thing, brothers. When both of you, spiritually, physically, and emotionally ready, then the marriage would be great. But if one of you is lacking in one of those departments, then it's very difficult. Why? Because if a woman, for women, if you cannot work, you cannot do this, you cannot do that, then the husband marry you, sometimes the husband feel like, look, if I treat her bad mentally, if I treat her bad, it shouldn't be like this, but if I treat her bad and I, you know, even if I don't treat her right, she cannot leave me. Why? She cannot support herself. You understand? Where is she going to go? She cannot work. She cannot do this. She cannot do that. That's not a good relationship. Because love will not be balanced. Especially for brothers, right? Brothers, of course, if you don't get a, you don't have a job, don't get married. You know, as men, if we don't work as men, and we in a marriage relationship, of course, sometimes we lose our job, that is different. But if you just stay home, of course, I'm not saying every situation, but there's some cases that brothers stay home to take care of the kids, thank God, everything is wonderful. But quite often, if brothers, as a husband, we don't work, and then our wife look at us, you're such a lazy bum, right? And stay home, you don't do anything, sooner or later, the wife will despise us. It's human nature. But of course, when Christ in our lives, everything works. It doesn't matter what kind of situation it is. But normally, brothers have a job. It doesn't mean you have to make $100,000 a year, no. You are a work-harding person. Provide for your family. Okay? So what is the dating? No dating. What is the marriage? Be mature spiritually, physically, and emotionally. Okay. Next question, please. Is it okay to wear a purity ring? Okay. Why do you need to wear purity rings? Why? That's the question. You want to show everybody I'm pure? That's why I have this ring. Why do you want to wear it? Why do you want to wear it? But even for myself, I don't have a ring, right? Even though I'm married, I have no ring. So for me, is if you want to wear any kind of ring, yeah, you go ahead. But what is the reason behind it? Why do you want to wear a purity ring? Why? Right? Why? Actually, if you wear it, what do you gain from it, right? And if you don't, what are you going to lose? Right? You guys understand what I'm saying? So, no, we can do everything, but not everything edifies, right? And why would you want to tell people I'm pure, what are purity rings? Why, why is that? Okay, it's just your action, the way you live your life. That's important, okay? Is it sinful to be friend with someone who is gay? Right? Is it sinful or not? No, of course not. Right? Of course not. If they are gay, we still can be friend with them, but don't practice. Right? I mean, if this person is your friend and they practice all the time, then you cannot be friend with them. Right? Why? Because their lifestyle is very different from us. And their thought is also very different from us. So if they're practicing and they don't need help, right, to overcome their weakness, then of course we have to choose. That's not only with gay, but also with everything, right? A person who have anger problem, right? Quite often you don't want to hang out with that person all the time. I wouldn't hang out, before Christ, I wouldn't want to hang out with myself, right? Because I have always anger issues. I always get into fights all the time. I want to kill this person, I want to kill that person, right? And those who are around me, actually, they also will be in danger, right? Be in danger. Just like one time, actually, my brother was in the lead of a gang, right? And the other time, I just want to go and visit him. When I go to visit him, just happened is a drive-by shooting. And I almost got killed because they thought I was part of the gang. But I was not, I just go and visit him. But of course, before, when I go visit him, all these bodyguard, whatever, would just stop me, right? Because they don't know who I was back then, right? Then they knew I was his brother, and then they just let me go, right? But I'm saying if I hang out with my brother, even though I don't do anything bad, but I'm sure I would have been in jail a long time ago, even maybe dead. And actually, in reality, thank God that my brother went to jail, because if he was not, he would have been dead already. Because many of his buddies, they are dead already. So sometimes being in jail is a blessing. Really is a blessing. Okay? So of course, be friend with those who need us to be friend, just like our Lord Jesus Christ. But every time he have dinner with them, he speak to them, he always asks them to transform their life, like change the way they are. And the way for us they are so like this. Maybe the reason why we want, we are friend with a gay person because we want to help them out to find Jesus. To allow them to receive strength from Jesus to overcome their weaknesses. The same thing with a drunk person. But if that person comes to church drunk and stuff like that, then of course we cannot allow them to do that, right? Because come to church drunk, he can endanger other lives. The same thing. I mean, sometimes we have truth seekers who are child molesters come to church, right? Because of this, we need to protect our members too. So we have to do background checks and things like that because, sometimes when people come to church, you look at them, they look at little kids. Right? They look at little kids. So you and I must be aware of that. And this happened a couple of times already, the children I'm in, right? But we need to take care of the kind of situation. So we have to do case by case, but also we love everyone, but not their sin. Not their sin. And the same thing, some guys come to church, they just look at sisters. And that's not good here. In a sense that, of course, their mind is perverted, right? That's why. Okay? Okay, next question, please. Why do polygamy occur in the Old Testament? Example, David, Solomon, Lamech, Abraham. Okay. Lamech, he's a Gentile. He's not a believer, right? So he's the first person, right, that had more than one wife. But in beginning, God's intention was what? Was what? Yes, one man, one woman. And our Lord Jesus Christ also say that too, right? David, did you say multiple wives, right?
I said multiply.
Oh, multiply. Okay, come to multiply. Yes, it is to multiply, but that's me to marry so many people, right? But beginning is only Adam and Eve. God did not take two Adam's ribs and make into two women, right? Just one. Okay, if Adam had to take two ribs out, maybe he cannot function too good, right? He might die, right? You understand? So one rib is enough. Right? And at Lucius Christ say the same thing. Remember, I asked you the question, why did Moses, right, if you want to give a certificate of divorce, right, a person can divorce without sexual immorality. Anybody know the answer that time? Remember my question? What's that? Yes, what does it say? So remember, we really don't understand clearly why those saints also have multiple wives. But during that time, God allowed it. Right? During that time, God allowed it. Even though God allowed it, doesn't mean that was the right thing for them to do. Okay. So, but for us, what we know now, one wife, one husband. That's it. That's all we need to know. You don't need to worry about those saints. Because they have to answer to God themselves, right? But we know God's teaching that it's one woman and one man. Okay? So, brother, what does it say? Oh, I thought you opened your Bible. Any other question to that? Any other question to that? Yeah, they say. Right, so it says, you know, if the wife is not pleasing to him or uncleanness that she found, but actually the conclusion that Lucius Christ said that what? Because the hardness of their heart, that's why Moses gave him a certificate of divorce. But for us, we know that, of course, this question asked all the time, right? Most likely by brothers, right? Because like I said, maybe quite often brothers, you want to have more than one wife. But you know, when you get married with one wife and you know how difficult it is, you never want to have two wives, that's for sure, right? Right now, you know, you're young, you're full of energy, and you feel like you can handle more than one wife. But actually, you know, you go stress out. And look at nowadays, right? Who usually dies first, the wife or the husband? Huh? The husband usually dies first, right? Right? You know that, right? Because husband, we are very weak. We can't even outlive our wives. Never mind two wives, three wives, right? But of course, God's commandment is for us to have only one wife. Only one wife. Okay? Just stick on that. And don't worry about Abraham and Solomon. Yeah. Okay. Verse 7. This is the question. Can God create a rock so heavy that even he cannot lift, right? Actually, this question is not complete, right? The complete question they ask that if God is almighty, right? If God is almighty, you know, if God is almighty, can God create a rock so heavy that even he cannot lift, right? Like I mentioned earlier, this kind of question is a very foolish question. And this is kind of philosophical questions from atheists that try, you know, to make our God to be, you know, not so significant, right? But this kind of questions, you know, is for God to know. And maybe if we make it to eternal life, then we can ask him. I think he's going to be upset if you ask him that, right? Because this question is with disrespectful, right? Disrespectful questions. Okay, next one. Eight. What does it mean to be blessed by God and blessed to God? What does blessed mean? Okay. First, let's separate these two things. What does it mean to be blessed by God? To be blessed by God. Anyone? What does it mean to bless? Google it. Someone, counselors, can you Google the word bless? What does it say? Make holy and consecrate. Right? to bless. Like God bless. When, what was the first thing that God blessed in the Bible? Sabbath, right? God bless Sabbath and make it holy, right? Consecrate. So can you not, the second part is what? And to bless God. Can we bless God? Is anywhere in the Bible say we need to bless God? Huh? Is anywhere in the Bible say you need to bless God? No. Because why? Because the greater always bless those who are least. That's what the Bible said, right? And there's no way that you and I can bless God, bless you. God, I bless you. No, it doesn't work that way. The closest thing you can come is that God bless you. You're saying to someone else that God will bless you, right? That's pretty much it, right? Okay. So actually to bless can be many different things, right? God will bless us with children. God bless our marriage. God bless our school, our career. This means what? He pay close attention to it and make it grow and make it good. Okay? But you and I cannot bless God. How can we gonna bless God? We cannot bless God. We are not worthy even to say his name actually in reality, right? That's why in the Old Testament, the chosen people of God, they don't say God's name. Why? Because they are not worthy, and that's true. But because of Jesus Christ, because of his grace, that's why you and I can say his name. Right? That's how wonderful God is. How wonderful God is. Okay, next one, please. Next one. What are the church rules regarding piercing? Example, facial and body. Okay, once again, what is the Bible teaching, right, regarding piercing? What do you guys think? Can you and I pierce? Huh? Yes? Yes. Sister, this is a question from a brother, right? Sister, you guys do pierce your ears and stuff like that, right? Can you pierce your nose? You know any sister have nose ring? No? Okay, look at this, right? Actually, according to the Bible, actually in the Old Testament, even guys, they pierce, right? But nowadays, you guys want to have earrings and stuff walking around? You do? Maybe. Why? Why would you want an earring? You don't know. If you don't know, why would you do it, right? Let's have a purpose. Tell me one positive reason why would you want to have earrings. First, you want to be look like a woman? No, no one want to look like a woman, right? And second, do you feel it's cool to have an earring? Do you want to look manly when you have an earring? Really, quite often, of course, there's many things that you and I can do, but what is the purpose of getting earrings? Can you picture me with an earring? You guys are laughing. I don't think you would look at me the same way, you understand? Even though it's not against the Bible, but just Pastor Voodoo wear an earring? Come on, right? And when I look at you guys, same thing too. You know, one of my favorite actors is Harrison Ford, right? From Indiana Jones, right? Back then, right? Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? This and that, right? But after he put his earring on, I can't look at him anymore. I really cannot look at him to be like a manly kind of guy because, like, you know, like Clint Eastwood is one of my favorite movie stars too, Clint Eastwood, right? Because he's a man's man, right? He's rugged, he's cool, right? Can you imagine he have an earring on? It's just really different, yes? Yeah, I guess, you know, I think earrings are a little bit more than just fashion, like clothing, like wear clothing, stuff like that, right? Because when you put an earring on, right, you want to express what you feel like. Why would you want to do it? If you be able to answer it correctly, then it's fine, right? It's fine. But what would cause you to pierce your ears or pierce your nose? What would cause you to do that? Why would you do that? And the same thing, some of you want to do your hair blonde, right? Why? Why do you want to do your hair blonde and do your hair red? Yes? I mean, women, they look nice in earrings. Right? I mean, Tell me any guys. Come on, look at David. Can you picture David with earring? Look at him. Come on. Yeah. All right? So the same thing, right? The same thing. Okay, so everything is permissible, but not everything edify. That's one of the things too, right? Yes. Question six. Always question six. We spend so much time on that.
I don't know. Like, it should have only worked.
Oh. Yeah. But that's how having multiple wives, right? Yeah. Okay, six. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so any other question about earrings, about piercings? Anything else? Face, yeah. Of course, here, they say facial and body, right? Facial and body. Of course, a lot of people have a lot of piercing in their body too, right? And yeah, it's, yeah. And quite often when someone does the kind of stuff, the question is, what possessed you to do that? Right? Really, what evil spirit is inside you to do that, right? Yeah. But of course, I mean, yeah. Yeah, with piercing and stuff like that, brothers, no need to do it, right? You don't really need to do it, right? I mean, the same thing, you know, sometimes you want to color your hair red and blonde. Why? Yeah, black hair is nice already, yes? Huh? Oh, if it comes to body piercing for women? A face? Okay, first, for sisters, of course, we know it's okay to have earrings, right? And some, of course, maybe some sisters have pierced their belly button, right? Right? So, yeah, I mean, those kind of things, and you have to ask the question, why, right? Why would you want to do it, right? Why would you want to do it? Okay? And those who have belly button piercing, most of the time they like to wear shirts that is, you know, half shirt so you can show their belly, right? And if you have belly piercing and then you just wear regular clothes all the time, why would you do it? Doesn't make sense, right? Okay. All right, next one. In one of Pastor Hu's class, we talk about having no selfish ambition, but we come to church and do a lot of holy work so that we could go to heaven. Isn't this selfish ambition that we do all this for us to go to heaven? Explain, justify, please, right? Same question as the one in Pastor Woody's class, right? So can you search what does it mean selfish ambition? Counselors? Selfish ambition. What does selfish ambition mean? You know, to work for something, to receive reward, is not selfish ambition. You deserve it. You work for it, right? But when you are selfish ambition, this means, you know, when, for example, when there's food, and then you stay in line, and then you see there's 10 people behind you, but you took all the food. You take all the food for yourself, right? That is selfish ambition. Do you understand? But to do holy work, God said we get reward, right, for what we do. That is eternal life. And it's like nothing wrong with that. That's not selfish ambition. That's hard working to receive a reward. But selfish ambition, you do things to hurt others to gain what you want. That is selfish ambition. So what does it say about selfish ambition? Candace, a little loud, sister. Okay. I'm sorry, I really cannot hear you. I know you talk very softly. Yeah, maybe Yeah, Paulina, can be a little louder. Okay, thank you, right? So that's why it's okay for us to work hard to gain what we want. But God's reward is for everybody, right? So if you work hard, God gives reward, is other people not going to get it? No, it has nothing to do with anybody else. Right? It all has to do with our relationship with God. So that's why that's not selfish ambition, okay? Because selfish ambition, you do things to hurt others to get what you want, to gain what you want. Okay, that is selfish ambition. Next, please. Next, please. 11. Are you allowed to pray in tongue while holding hands? So, I mean, who are you holding hands with? Right? Of course, if you hold, for example, in Hawaii, right? Quite often in Hawaii, we hold hands, right? At the end, we pray, we sing hymns, we hold hands, right? And of course, we also can pray in tongue while we hold hands. Why we cannot? Why can't we pray in tongue while we hold hands? Matthias, you have something? Oh, yeah. So actually, holding hands, of course, pray in tongue. Actually, sometimes it's more safe holding hands, right? So no, you get hit. Sometimes people pray, right, like this, right? Yeah. No, sometimes as minister, we go lay hands down. We got to be careful too, right? Because sometimes one, some of you guys fall asleep and all of a sudden we touch your head, you're like this, right? You got to be really careful with everything, right? Yeah. And sometimes you put so much grease in your hair when you lay hands. Yeah, and then I got to go and wash it before I lay hands on another person, right? So that's why I try not to put so much junk on your hair when you're praying, right? Because you will give that to everybody else too, right? Yeah, okay. It's nothing wrong to hold hands, okay? 12, what is Trinity? What is Trinity? And when what Bible verse can be used? Okay, question 12, I will try to answer, because it's really a long answer to these questions. Let's see, what time we have today until 4:35? Maybe I can answer this question in one of my classes, right? If you have 4 more hours for my classes. Because this is some very important questions, and I'll take a little bit more time to answer it, okay? So there with the Trinity. 13. If God chose Jacob because he loved him, and God loves the whole world, then why isn't he everyone chosen? Right. So of course, when we ask this question, we're a little bit confused, right? Remember, I share with you that even though God is almighty, God can never force us to do what? To do what? To go against our will. Actually, to go against our will. You understand? So when God, Jesus Christ, crucified himself on the cross, this salvation for all mankind. But it doesn't mean that every man willing to come to know Jesus Christ and to be saved. That is their own free will, their own free choice. But salvation is for everyone. Salvation for everyone. And then even the next question, right? If God desires all men to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth, then why does he say, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hate, and only show grace to some people? But actually, why did God say he hate Esau? Why? Why? Why did God say he hate Esau? Why? Why? So all this time you never try to think, why did God say he hate Esau and love Jacob? Why? Who does Esau represent? Huh? Who does Esau represent? An animal, you say? Esau. When we know about, when we talk about Esau, what do you guys think about? Oh, red hair. What does Esau represent? Okay, yeah, not Gentile, but he's wild and he's what? Fleshly. He's fleshly. So any one of us, actually, God will hate us too if we live in the flesh. That's all we do is, you know, want to get pleasure. That's what God is saying. In other words, God is saying, look, if you live in the flesh, you cannot please God. It's just the way it is. God did not hate Esau from the beginning, no. He's the one despite his birthright. Why? To gain temporary pleasure. The same thing for us. We also have a choice. If we are like Esau, God also will hate us. Why? Because we live in the flesh. Though belong in the flesh cannot be belong. Live in the flesh cannot belong to God. Right? And that's what God's trying to teach us. So in other words, don't live our life in the flesh, but rather live in the spirit and be righteous in the eyes of God. But God, Jesus Christ died for everyone. But it's their willingness to come to know him or not. That is their own will. If they're not willing, then that's it. They cannot enter eternal life. Okay? Next question. 15. How come in the end times God will close up the gates of Gentile to believe, yet Jews will still be saved even they didn't believe in Jesus in the New Testament? Yes, sometimes we feel like, you know, why would God close the gate, right? The numbers of Gentiles up, right? So actually here, remember all the Jews right now when they die, can they be saved, all the Jews right now when they die? They cannot. So, but when the time of the Gentiles is over, and I would, the gate is closed, then the Jews will start to come to believe. If they come to believe, what shall they do to be saved? What should they do to be saved? They just say, oh, we believe in Jesus, right? Now we are saved. What do you guys think? What they need to do to be saved? Yes, they first they need to be born again of water and spirit. The same process that you and I are going through. But the remnant of the Jews that is left over, maybe it's not many, but even now many of them die without salvation, right? But God has mercy upon them. But even then, in the end days, those who believe, they must be born again. And think about this. You know, for the Jews, there's something, you know, for the Jews first. If a Jewish person want to go to a church, right? Want to go to church. What are the basic beliefs the church must have for them, for the Jews to go to that church? What do you think? What do you think? What's that? I'm sorry? Sabbath, yes. First, the church must believe in Sabbath. And guess what? Our church believe in Sabbath. Even though the Seventh-day Adventists, actually they believe in Sabbath, but actually they're still under the law, right? And the way they believe is not according to the Bible. But the Jews will realize that the Sabbath that you and I are keeping is according to God's will. That first. Second is what? Second is what? Second is what? What are the doctrines? No, probably not, right? Because Holy Spirit, they don't know about that, right? What else? What are you guys? Huh? Yes! One true God. The Jews cannot believe this Trinity, you understand? Three in one, no. That's why when Jesus said what? Before Abraham was, I am, right? And Jesus said, I'm the Son, right? That's why they want to stone him to death. Because when he say that, he said he is God. You understand? So the Jews, they believe in one true God. And that's what you and I have. We believe in one true God. Pretty much all the other churches believe in Trinity. Do you understand? So God set up for us already, for the Jews to come to believe in the end days. But we must do our part, right, to continue to hold on to our basic beliefs and also really to understand. Maybe someday that you feel that our church is not this, our church is not that. But you should never not believe in the basic beliefs. Because the minute you no longer believe in the basic beliefs, Satan have a great foothold in you. Then he will deceive you. Remember in the book of Revelation, the dragon have how many heads? 7 heads. How many horns? 10. What about the beast that came out of the water? How many heads? How many horns? 7, 10, right? What about the beast that the woman sat on? How many heads, how many horns? Yes, 7 and 10. Why? Because horns mean power. Power is in his head. And his head is to deceive you and I. So that's why if you and I do not have the mind of Christ, you and I cannot last. We cannot enter eternal life. So that's why right now it's so important for you to study the basic beliefs. No matter what people try to say to you, you must believe in basic beliefs. Because some people in our church, they say you don't need to be baptized to be safe. The minute, and then some people say, the minute we are baptized, we receive the Holy Spirit. You don't need to have foot washing. And you don't need to worship Sabbath on the last day of the week. All these things will also come upon all of you. But make sure you hold on to your faith. Because the minute you no longer believe, then you will die. And when you die spiritually, you cannot enter eternal life. Next one. 16. If Canaan symbolize heaven and Egypt symbolize hell, then what does it mean if Moses did not get entered Canaan? Was he still safe? First, Egypt, it does not represent hell, right? Egypt represent what? The world, right? The world under bondage, right? This and that, the world, right? So and then, if the land of Canaan, right? The land of Canaan represent. Actually, the land of Canaan is only one part of the promised land. It's very small. Right? Actually, the land of Canaan, the promised land is very huge. Canaan, just one part of it. But when Moses cannot enter this promised land, right? This promised land. The question is he safe? Is he safe? Is he safe or not? Yes, he is safe. How do we know he is safe? Yes, we saw him in Mountain Transfiguration with Elijah. But during that time, even though physically Moses did not enter the promised land, but God actually himself buried Moses. And before Moses died, what did God show him? Yeah, the promised land. You understand? In our spiritual speaking, this is where you can enter. But you know what? Physically, you're not going to enter there. I'll bury you myself. Of course, there's a reason behind that. What is the purpose? Why didn't God allow Moses? Of course, he sinned against God. But what are the purpose why God did not allow him to enter the promised land? And God had to bury Moses himself. And nobody knew where God buried Moses, right? Why? What's that? I'm sorry. Yes. So the chosen people of God don't worship Moses, right? Actually, if they knew where Moses was buried, they would dig him up, they would carry him, right? And they would worship him. That's why God said, no, you cannot, right? That's why Moses, actually, it's for your sake. That's why God did not allow me to enter the promised land. For this, because they loved Moses a lot, but at the same time, they gave him so much trouble, right? So there's always a purpose behind it. But we know for sure that Moses did enter the promised land. Okay? Next one. Have you ever been to Russia, Taiwan, and or Korea? Okay. So I haven't been to Russia or Korea, but I've been to Taiwan. Thank you. Last game. Is Lord of the Rings bad? Lord of the Rings, right? Actually, Lord of the Rings is that precious guy, right? Yeah. Is that the one? That's Lord of the Ring, right? I get it mixed up with, I don't know, Lord of the Ring and this. Another one is similar. What is it? What is it? Yeah, maybe Harry Potter, right? The herb, yeah, whatever it is, right? But really, okay, because so many people watch Lord of the Rings, so one day I think my wife and I, we put on Lord of the Ring. How can you guys watch it? It's demonic. It's really demonic, right? Especially the precious guy, precious, like that, right? I mean, you know, guys don't get scared just watching that. It's just so crazy, right? I'm sure when you watch it, you feel nothing, stuff like that, because sometimes we have been so normalized to this kind of stuff, right? It's a guarantee. If you pray for 1 month and you try to watch it, you wouldn't watch it. You wouldn't watch it. Yes, brother? Yeah. Of course, everything is entertaining, right? A lot of things in life, it feels entertaining, right? But at the same time, there's a lot of what? A lot of poison inside of it too, right? That's why I told you guys about the brownie story, right? So, okay, I'll tell you the brownie stories. So, one time this group of Christian students, they want to go see a movie. And this movie is rated R, right? So, but they want to convince their parents to go to the movies. So they listed all the good things, right? The best actor, the best actress, and how entertaining, how good it's going to be, this and that, right? And they list a couple of bad things. And then they asked the parents, can we go to watch it? And the parents, you know, they thought about it, said, okay, we'll tell you tomorrow. So the next day, they went into, you know, to the parents' house, and they saw, wow, this fresh brownie baked for them, right? So they got all excited. Oh, our parents say yes, we can go, right? That's what they thought. So they want to eat that brownie, and the parents say, no, don't eat the brownie yet, right? Let me tell you what's inside the brownie. First, the brownie, you know, we as parents make the brownie for you, right? We all love you very much. We make all these brownies for you. And we bought the best kind of milk, right? Or cream, whatever it is, this and that, all different ingredients. We bought the best. But there's only one little thing. We put the dog doo-doo in it. But not much, just very little. Okay, guys, if you want to eat, go ahead. Would you eat it? Would you eat it? No, you would not. Did they eat it? You think they're going to take the chance at the risk that they wanted the piece, they have all the doo-doo in it, right? They would not, right? So for us, yes, everything is like brownie. It smells good sometimes, right? It looks good. Sometimes it tastes good. But you know what? There's a lot of poison inside too. And of course, some movies are more poison than others. Really, of course, for me, I love action movies. And the main thing is I like special effect, right? All that kind of stuff. But I have to watch too. Watch out for what kind of movies I watch too. And for sure, Lord of the Rings, I cannot watch it. It's demonic. Really, it's really demonic. So try not to watch those kind of movies, right? Those kind of movies. Of course, at first, you just feel, what's wrong with it, those things, right? You just watch it and then you're fine, right? Let me tell you a quick testimony. Yes. Yeah, I mean, you can justify, of course. We can use many things to justify, right? You know, for example, yeah, those demons in there, they represent an enemy, and this, of course, you can say all the kind of stuff, right? But the content itself, is it edifying to watch those things? I mean, don't you can just learn from the Bible, an enemy, you fight against them, why do we need to watch how many episodes? I mean, how many series? Six. Wow. And then some people say, well, is that the thing with the two towels too? No, that's the different one. That's two towels too? Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. Whatever it is, right? Of course, you all can justify, right? You always can, hey, you know what? I'll challenge you. If you pray for 3 months, an hour a day, and read 2 hours a day, then you can tell me what movie you can watch and what movie you cannot watch. You know, I'll tell you, there's pretty much almost a movie out there you cannot watch after you do that. I'll tell you, because I went through this experience, right? So for me, like I tell you, I love action movies and do all this kind of stuff. So One time, I went to, because I lived in Boston back then, so I went across my street to rent some, you know, CDs, movies. And I came, of course, when I went there, I find this movie, that movie, this and that, so I just came back and watched some movies. And then, for a couple months, I just pray and cultivate myself. So I went to the same movie store. I went there. I couldn't find anything to watch. I was there looking. That's not good. That's not good. That's not. Nothing was good. I came back. I put all my audio video stuff on sale. My TV's on sale. I got rid of everything. Then I realized, actually, of course, I'm not saying that TV is bad. No. Actually, you know, once in a while, I have a TV now. I have a 63-inch TV at home, right? But we hardly watch it. But when I'm home, sometimes I watch like Chops, you know, the cooking channel, Chop, with my wife, right? Because I like to cook and she loves to cook, right? And that's what we watch. Sometimes we watch, of course, like Animal Channel and things like that. But I know one thing for sure. Back then, I loved to watch sports too. I watch sports all the time. But I couldn't waste my time to do that, right? Because, I mean, any games, I mean, that the Celtics plays or the Patriots play, the Red Sox, I just want to watch it. But I know I'm just wasting my time. So I got rid of my TV and all those things. Now I have a TV. Why? Because I can control it. I don't need to watch it. You know, when I, even the Patriots, you know, if they're in the playoffs and stuff like that, sometimes I don't have feeling to watch it. But if I'm in Hawaii because so many brothers watch it, then I just go and watch it to be, you know, to be with them, right? But it's not, that does not control me. But I remember also one time when I moved from Boston to this little town called Framingham, and in downstairs I have a little TV. So when I'm on a treadmill, just watch something, right? And during that time, I was watching Friends. You guys know the show Friends, right? Old show, right? But Friends. And after my exercise, I kneeled down and prayed. And I felt so far from God. And I'm like, why? What happened? I didn't, between, you know, just doing exercise, I watched Friends, that's it. But all the thoughts come to my mind because Friends are talking about who's sleeping with who, right? Who's dating who, who's doing this, that. That's defile your mind. Then I realized, actually, this kind of show is also not good for you, right? So that's why, yes, you can ask, you can justify everything you do, but be honest with yourself. Is it edifying for your spirit? Is it killing your spirit slowly? And that's what it does. Don't think that Satan will give you one portion of poison that you die right away. If you do that, you know it's poison, you won't die. You know, in the olden days, you know how the wives killed their husband in the olden days? And get away with it? You know what the wife do in the olden days to kill their husband and get away with it? Guess what they do? They put rat poison in their food. See, the husband would eat the food, it tastes all good, this and that, right? But little by little, he gets sick. Then, of course, he gets sick. Back then, they don't have this kind of forensic, right? Or some kind of technology to see what's inside their body. So they just die. And then they just feel, oh, he died because he was sick. But I see he's bad poison all this time. Why? Because now, because they have the technology, they dug up a lot of body and stuff like that, and they can still see the poison in their body, in their bones, stuff like that, right? So Satan does exactly the same to you and I. Because a lot of things in this world, of course, it's seen that it's right, but it's poisonous to your spirituality. So be careful. Even though you don't die today, but why so many people left the church? Because they've been eating too much poison. And this world is like junk food, right? Junk food tastes very good, but it's very bad for your health. Very bad for your health. And the same thing, as long as you and I involve in this world and, you know, use the world to you know, give us pleasure, spiritually, we become unhealthy, out of shape, you know, high cholesterol, all that kind of stuff. So we have to be wise. Let's go to the next question. In Matthew 5:39, it tells us not to resist an evil person. So an evil person wants to rape you, do you just not resist, right? I don't know why you guys are laughing, but this is a very serious question, right? First, you know, for us, we must be wise, right? especially for sisters, right? For sisters, when you go to college and things like that, right? Plus, I mean, first, don't walk in the alley and stuff. No, by yourself. And when you try to do your best not to walk at night, even you walk at night, you have friends with you and stuff like that, right? So you must do your best not to put yourself in that kind of situation. But for me, because our body is a temple of God, if we treat our body like the temple of God, God would not allow this kind of stuff to happen. Just like I showed you, Pastor Timothy's wife, right? They also want to defile her, but they didn't, because God protected her. So the same thing for us. But if we don't treat our bodies like the temple of God, then it's very difficult to say. Right? Very difficult to say. Of course, if a person, you know, try to defile yourself, the best thing, you got to yell and scream, right? Yell and scream. But if that person have a knife and want to kill you and stuff like that, you got to do your best to survive, right? But for me, as a chosen people of God, if you do what you need to do, and that's spiritually speaking, take care of yourself, God will not allow this to happen. Why? Because this is the temple of God. Yes? What's that? Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know too many people just go and just want to kill you. Right? I mean, what do you do for them to revenge? I mean, yeah. So, okay. Of course, you always can find different scenario, right? But not too common, right? People just come want to kill you, right? Unless you do something wrong to them, right? So that's why as Christian, we have to behave also correctly, right? And justly. Okay? Yes? Yes, I mean, that kind of situation happens, you got to run as fast as you can, right? I mean, you can't help that. You walk on the street, you have to be wise, right? You have to know what, you know, because when I go into a restaurant, I never sit facing the door. I mean, my back, you know, to the door, never. You understand? Because I work with too many people, many psychotic people, right? There's a lot of crazy people out there. That's why when you're driving, people yell and scream at you, don't say anything. Because if you get the wrong person, he'll try to run you off the road, right? And try to kill you, stab you, shoot you, right? So that's why for me, I know there's a lot of crazy people out there, so I do my best, try to, you know, not to be in the situation. So when I go to a restaurant, I always face the door. My wife, on the other hand, she never pay attention. When she walk and stuff, when I walk, I can see people 100 yards away. And that's how, that's, you know, for me, I have to pay attention, right? So we have to do our best, but there's a lot of things happen that we cannot control, right? And then, of course, God allowed to happen and let it be, right? Yes? Like something like happened, like what? Like get shot or something? Yeah, you get shot, you get shot. If that's the situation, right? What's that? How you prevent being shot? You say there's some psychotic person there. You try to run as fast as you can. If you cannot run that fast, you get shot. Then what else can you do? Huh? Pull out a gun. So you care about, you walk around with guns, right? Yeah. You know, if you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. That's how it is, right? If you don't trust in our Lord Jesus Christ while you're walking and stuff like that, but actually worry about more, not the physical aspect of life, but the spiritual aspect of life. So quite often when you and I walk, make sure we're filled with God's Spirit, first of all, right? We don't need to carry guns. For what? If you're filled with God's Spirit, God will take care of you. If you're filled with God's Spirit, Satan has no room, right, to tempt you and do things bad to you. But if it happens, doesn't matter. You know, Daniel's three friends, right? Daniel's three friends. When did they see God? When did they see God? Huh? Yes, inside the fire, right? Inside the fire. So they say to the king, King, look, you know, we didn't do anything wrong. But, you know, our God will save us. Our God will save us. But they also said, if he doesn't, it doesn't matter. That's the kind of faith that you and I need to have. So when they were thrown to the fire, even those who were thrown to the fire, they were burned to death, right? But can you imagine that? If they're about to go into the furnace of fire, they were not scared, you understand? But in the fire, that's when they see God. Quite often, you and I need to be in trial and tribulation to experience God. And quite often, trial and tribulation to refine our faith, to test our faith. So there's nothing wrong with that, right? So don't think that every single one of us Christian, you know, we in the Garden of Roses. No, things happen bad to us too. But you need to find out the reason why. Make sure it's not because of our sin, right? Not because of our sin. And if because of our sin, then we deserve it. Then we should not complain. So that's why you always have to be holy and righteous. If you're holy and righteous, anything that happened to you, you know God allowed it to happen. And it's for a purpose, for us to learn from that. Okay? Let's bow our head and pray in silence.